Good morning. What a beautiful day it is. We've been blessed this week to feel the sunshine and to feel the warmth of that. It's like the warmth of God's love. You know, so when you leave here today and just feel that sunshine on your face, think of that. And just experience it. We are the recipients of it. You know, it's nothing we can earn. It's just how good He is. So I encourage you to some way, somehow get some sunshine today. And to bring that sunshine to others as well. It's part of our job as Christians, right? To build each other up, to give each other hope, to bring peace, to bring freedom. And that word hope is going to figure in strongly today in our message. So let's hear from God through His Word.
The first reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The second reading is from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 to 25. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet. He pleaded earnestly with Him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she'll be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around Him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch His clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," His disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet, and trembling with fear, told Him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in there where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? You can feel free at this time. Lord, thank you for your word. May it once again speak to us. It's new every morning, Lord. Your word is without end, without bottom. I mean, it has so much depth and meaning. So let it speak to us anew, your living word. Amen. So today we have a story within a story. Last week we looked at the surrounding story about Jairus, this synagogue leader who had status among his people, humbling himself before Jesus and asking that his daughter would be healed, his only daughter, meant a lot to him. And again, he was one that had status in Jewish society and culture, and as a result of associating with Jesus, we can imagine that that came to an end. But he found something even better. He found Jesus, and his daughter found healing through Jesus and what only he can do. But in the midst of this, we have the story of the woman coming up to him, approaching him. And that's what we're focusing on today, the story within the story. Similarities, both Jairus and the woman had faith, for sure. Jairus had faith enough to ask Jesus and this woman to approach him. Jesus was on a mission during this time. You know, this girl is dying. We have priorities in life. And those priorities, of course, will shift. We got our focus on one thing and something else comes along and we have to sort of shift our priorities a little bit, maybe put that first, come back to the other one as needed. And everybody's thinking, well, this girl dying is the highest priority. Oh, Jesus knows how it's going to turn out. He's not in too much of a hurry to help someone else. And we never should be either. We should never be in too much of a hurry to help someone else, to take that time. And that's what he did. He didn't have to stop. Indeed, the woman, by touching his garment, was already healed. He didn't have to stop and interact with her, but he did. And he changed her life as a result. An encounter with Jesus will always change one's life. So picking up on the story here, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. All right, so she had this bloody discharge for 12 years it had been going on. If you read back Leviticus 15, this would separate her from others. It's like being a leper, where she was unclean. It was the term for it, unclean. And she could not be around others. Others could not touch her. And that would be a horrible existence for 12 years. We don't know if she was married before that and was unable to, you know, touch her husband. If she had kids, we don't know. Might have. But either way, she was ostracized from society. She couldn't be a part of it. She could not partake in the normal daily things that we take for granted. She couldn't be near others. Couldn't touch others. And that, again, would be horrible, to not be able to experience like a hug or something like that, because she is unclean. It's like she's living under a curse here, basically. But it's about to be lifted. All right, she had suffered a great... Yes, okay. The care of many doctors had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his cloak, his clothes, I'll be healed. And that had happened before. Luke 6:19 precedes this. And if we turn to Luke 6:19 here real quick, we'll see. Alrighty. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. So just by touching Jesus, this had happened before. People had been touching Jesus, gathering around him, seeking to be healed. And they were. And maybe this woman had heard of these stories. And she who had been without hope for 12 years, she had spent all that she had on various doctors, had nothing left. Instead of getting better, it got worse. And then she hears about Jesus coming into town or nearby. And she seeks him out because she has heard about what can happen. And this gave her a spark. This gave her a glimmer of hope, something that perhaps she had been without. We think about that living apart from others, but yeah, I was just talking about the consequences of it, but think about, you know, the emotional part of it too. And the mental health part of it. You suppose she was depressed? Yeah, this goes beyond just the words here. She was lacking hope. She was probably depressed, and she didn't maybe even see a point in living. Who knows? She had tried everything, and it's just getting worse. It's not getting better. And sometimes life can be like that. But again, an encounter with Jesus can change everything. She had hope, and this hope fed into her faith that Jesus could do this. Maybe it was a really strong faith. Probably was. You know, your faith is made you well. That's usually when someone has a very strong faith. So was it a strong faith, or was this this glimmer of hope, or a combination of both? Had she heard Jesus from a distance, maybe? Heard some of his teachings? Maybe seen some of the miracles? Again, we don't know the backstory. But she had hope. And it reminds me of that Crowder song, "All My Hope Is in Jesus." If you've never listened to that, give it a listen sometime. Crowder, "All My Hope Is in Jesus." Yeah. Where else can we put our hope? I mean, that is the ultimate source of hope, is in God. The one who can and the one who will. So the historical count goes on. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples, of course, say, "Oh, there's people all around you. They're all grabbing at you. And yet you ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Again, he didn't have to take the time to address her. She had already been healed. He could have just gone on. She'd been healed. He could go on and heal the daughter of Jairus. But he takes the time to stop and interact with her. And he realized that power had gone out from him. He felt it. He knew it. He had healed many, and each time, I guess he could feel that power had gone out from him. And here he knew it. And he kept looking around to see who had done it. I like this part. Knowing that it had happened to her, she came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. So he's asking who did it, and she's not willing to say it was me. She's not willing to confess. If you raised little kids, that's why I was smiling at this part. You already know the answer sometimes, right? Something got broke or something like that, or a tool didn't get put back or something, and you ask them about it. You know anything about this? No. And then maybe there's a little bit of a story, but okay. Then as you question more, the story starts to change a little bit more, and eventually you might get to the full confession, okay? And that's where you have the chance to teach the lesson with the little kids, at least we do. A lot of the kids that we've helped raise and things like that, and say, "Hey, if you would have just come clean in the first place, things would have gone a lot better," because we respect the truth. We respect honesty, and that's what we, how we live around here. So you have that chance to get that lesson in there. But that's what that reminds me of here. Trembling with fear. Why was she trembling with fear? She should be trembling with joy. But she, who had been excluded, had to work her way through a crowd. She had to come in contact with other people, something she was not allowed to do because of the laws set forth in Leviticus. She had broken Levitical law. Big deal in the Jewish culture. She was not supposed to be near anybody else, but yet she had worked her way through this crowd somehow, came up behind him and touched his garment. And to admit that it was her and that she had broken these laws, yeah, I can see that she had some fear. And eventually told him the whole truth, not just part of it, like that little kid with the story changing a little bit more added in until we finally get there. Told him the whole truth. Yes, I did touch others. I did come among others. But I wanted to be healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Those words from Jesus. Wow. And he said this a number of times, your faith has made you well, or your faith has healed you. And faith has a big part in that. Do we always see the results of it? No. There's unanswered prayers where we're just praying for healing, and it doesn't happen sometimes. But having that faith, I know I should have looked them up, but studies have been done on people and their healing rates, even in hospitals and things like that. Those that have faith tend to heal a whole lot faster than those that don't. Those that have hope heal a whole lot faster. Those that pray and are prayed for heal a whole lot faster than those that aren't. So yeah, faith does play a role for sure. It will affect our attitude, and it's going to affect everything about us because we're all intertwined, right? Our physical self, our mental, our emotional, our spiritual, they're all intertwined. And when you have hope, when you have faith, things are going to go a whole lot better. We can imagine how thankful she was. She would then be able to go to show herself to the priest and be declared clean. And she could re-enter into society. She could now go to the market, something we take for granted. She could now do that, something she'd been unable to do. She could now attend worship with others, something that she had not been able to do. Again, we take that for granted, being able to gather together for worship like here this morning. She could be around other women and do the women things or whatever, okay? Who knows what they all do when they're together, okay? But they all seem to enjoy it, and they all seem to come back laughing, and to be socially isolated and ostracized from that had to have been horrible. And now she's able to engage with other women as well. She's able to rejoin with family. All the family celebrations, think about family gatherings, Christmas, Easter, like we do now. They had, of course, celebrations and gatherings, maybe the birth of a child or the festivals of the Old Testament. And she was excluded. She could watch from a distance, wishing that she could be a part of it. And now she could. She had a new life. To experience a hug, she had not for 12 years. And now she could. She had so much to be thankful for. And we do as well. Let us not take these things for granted. I know I do. Gathering with family, getting a hug, things like that. Gathering with worship, going to the store, I take it for granted. These are all simple things, but they are gifts from God to be among others, to be with others. And we are family here at Shalom. And as the greater body of Christ, we have brothers and sisters around the world that we get to be there for and be there with. Even at a distance, we're praying for them. I was thinking about people in Nigeria, or the last week over 300 were killed for their faith again. And again, we take things for granted. But Lord, we pray for those people, and we pray for your protection and your presence with them. So after this, she was hopefully not avoided anymore. She'd been declared clean. Would people still have this sense of this stigma about her? Entirely possible. You at one time were unclean. And let us never be that way. Someone is declared clean by God, no matter what they've been through, no matter what they've done, that sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. And we still see that sometimes. People that maybe lived a bad life in the past, not totally accepted back in. But if someone has repented, that past no longer exists. It is no longer there, and let us welcome them completely. Again, her life was changed, and changed by an encounter with Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, we see this happening again and again. Encounters with Jesus changing lives, and they still do today. An encounter with Jesus can change everything. It changes your whole attitude, your whole perception, your whole outlook on life, and the way that you live life. And it's an incredible thing. As we were worshiping earlier, I was just recalling a vision I had some years ago when we were worshiping over at the community center. An encounter with Jesus that As we were singing and worshiping, I've been there more than once. This place is vast, open, like a stone floor type thing. And I think it's before the throne is the way I see it. And I found myself at the feet of Jesus. I'm just falling down and sort of grabbing at his feet and just, I was crying in this vision. And I don't cry easily. And I feel these hands lifting me up. I feel these arms going around me in this big old Jesus hug. I didn't get to look in his face, but I knew it was him. I was just held against him. And it was an encounter with Jesus in that vision that, wow, it changed things big time. And we have many different ways to encounter Jesus. Maybe it's through someone that we encounter Jesus. Maybe it's people encounter Jesus through us too. It's not always in a vision form. Maybe it's in a healing or something that we encounter Jesus. There's so many different ways. But again, it will leave us changed for the better. This lady, what she had experienced, I think Isaiah, what we heard about there, sort of reflects it in a way. Isaiah is talking about Jacob and Israel here, but also for this lady, it says, "My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God." My cause is disregarded by my God. For years she'd been praying, for years she'd been pleading with God, I would imagine. Or maybe she wasn't a really strong believer. Don't know. But she felt, you know, God, why aren't you listening to me? Why aren't you curing me? Why aren't you healing me? Why do I have to suffer like this? What have I done? It goes on to say, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It was this hope that brought her to Jesus, this hope and this faith that was the cause of her healing there. Your faith has made you well. And we can imagine that she lacked strength. Having lost that much blood, her hemoglobin levels would be down. But what will happen? These people will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Her strength was back. She was no longer weary. She was no longer with hope. She had been healed thanks to what Jesus had done. Again, that hope that she had brought her to Jesus, even when she wasn't allowed to go near him or others. And we heard that Lamentations today too. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. She can look back in her life now and remember those times. Probably not wanting to dwell on those memories for sure, but she could look back at that. I'll remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. She had felt that. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It was the hope, again, that brought her to Jesus, the hope that he could do what she had heard about, that just by touching him. And Jeremiah continues to write, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." And yes, the Lord is good to her, and he's good to all of us. To the one who seeks him. Are we seeking him? Do you do that every day? Be seeking the Lord. Be seeking him in prayer. Be seeking him in spending time in the Word. Be seeking him in so many ways. He wants us to seek him. And as we seek him, so shall we find him. All right, again, the hope. Let us bring that hope to others. There's people out there that don't have a whole lot of hope. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to be touched by him. They need to seek him. He is the source, and he is good. And we never see him turn anybody away in the Scriptures, and he doesn't. If someone comes seeking him, he will not turn them away. He will make the time for them, just like he made the time with that woman. For he is good, and he is with us. So with hope in mind, this hope, this wonderful thing that we have, again, to be without hope would be terrible, but we have hope. And again, all my hope is in Jesus. I'd like to leave you with this blessing from Romans 15:13. Speaking of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.